glad that you're here to worship. Many of you know my wife sent out a message on Facebook on Monday, so I just want to thank all of you for all your comments and, you know, your encouragement through while we go through this trial and suffering and pain, and still very fresh. It's probably been one of the hardest weeks I've ever faced. It was tough. Still tough. Church, is it okay if I pour out my heart? God is still good. And all things are His. That 8-week-old baby, that was His. That's what He showed me. That even though we prayed for 4 years, He reminded me of something. Something so wonderful, even though it hurts. But that little baby is His. It's His. And there's no one greater than God. And He's teaching me something. This isn't even related to the message, but I feel like I got to say it. Because I feel like we have to understand this. Is sometimes we have to worship in our brokenness. Even with a broken heart, you can still worship the God of heaven. Oh, it's tough at times. It can be hard at times. You can sit there and cry. I've cried more times than I can even count. More times than I would even admit to you. And you don't want to see me cry. I can get emotional, but Savannah's seen me cry. And it was very tough for both of us. So I appreciate your prayers. And keep praying. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I'm glad I have a church family. Not everybody gets to have a big family like this. It's awesome to have a family that rejoices with me and mourns with me. This might be one of the hardest messages I'll ever do. Because my heart is broken. But I want to ask you a question, church. It's very important. How is your prayer life? This is not a simple question. How is your prayer life? There's nothing better than to cry out to God. There's nothing better to cry out to the Heavenly Father who has the power to change your life. If there's something in your life that you can't make it through, if there's brokenness in your life, if there's pain and suffering and all those things, there's nothing better than to cry out to God because He's the one that can change it. And isn't it so amazing that we serve a God who seems to never give up on us? Isn't it an amazing church that we serve an almighty God who seems to never give up on us, who died for us, who while we were still sinners, He died for us. Isn't that amazing, church? Isn't it amazing to serve a God who never gives up on us, who loves us no matter what? It says in Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height, or depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." God loved us so much that He sent His Son for you. He seems to never give up on us. Never, never. He pursues us. He goes after us. He runs for us. He begs us. He pleads us to come to Him. So let me ask you a question, church. Why do we give up praying so easily? When things become tough in your life, why do you give up praying so easily if it's so powerful? If God never gives up on you, why do you give up so easily to pray? Many Christians are like that. It gets too tough. It gets too hard. The battle's too much. Maybe God doesn't answer you when you want. So we throw in the towel and we give up. I would wonder just something, church. If we persistently pray for the ones we love, what the Lord might do. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I want to share a story. It's a very emotional story as well. I don't know why God wants me to be so emotional today, but it's not even related to what I just talked about. But I want to just share a story about my mom coming to Christ. Many of you know this story, but some of you don't know this story. So I came to Christ at about 2012. I was in high school. It was just the end of my freshman year. And I came to Christ and I was excited. The Lord pulled me from drugs and alcohol. And he said, "You're done with all those things." And I began to pray for my mom because I knew she didn't like to go to church. Said that she believed in God, but I knew she didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I'd ask Mom, I'd share the gospel with her, and she said, "I don't want anything to do with it." I remember we got in fights many times, and she would say, many of you have probably heard these very things, "Oh, ever since you became a Christian, you think you're just better than I am." She said those so many times to me. My mom went through a lot, a lot of abuse in her family. She was molested, her dad beat her. And then when she got with her boyfriend, they had a baby out of wedlock. And then about in 3 months after she had the baby, the baby died. I remember her telling me this story. You can imagine a young mom, no husband, young single mom, doesn't know what to do. Where do I go? Well, where does everybody else go for hope? I go to church. So she went to a church. I don't know. She can't even remember what church it was. But she goes in this church and she asked the pastor. She said, "Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me?" And the pastor looked at her and said, "Because you had the baby out of wedlock, God took your baby." And you can imagine what someone might think when somebody says that to you. "I am never going to step foot in a church ever again." And she told me that story every time, pretty much, that I asked her to come to church. That moment in her life stopped her from coming to church. So I kept praying. I kept praying. And I kept praying. And then in 2019, 7 years, prayed for 7 years. And I remember this mission team from Milton Baptist in Florida. They come up. If you remember Blackie Black, kind of a fun name. That was his actual name. His name was Blackie Black. And I remember I was teaching Sunday school, and the class was big, very big. So I was like, "Well, we can't fit all in this room." So I came in here, put a little, mic stand or whatever down here, and they were all sitting out there. And I remember, I don't even remember what I was teaching about, but I remember I always did prayer requests. Many of your Sunday school classes do that. Ask for prayer requests at the end. And I remember I mentioned something because Mom just got diagnosed with cancer. We didn't even know what it would look like. All we knew is that she had cancer. So I remember I asked them to pray for it, and these two ladies come up. I can't remember the one, but the one's name was Wendy. I still remember her. And they came up to me, and they said, "We want to meet your mom. We want to go and see her. We want to bring a gift basket to her. We want to talk about Jesus to her." And I said, "Well, let me go ask her." And I asked, they said, "Yeah, sure, bring them on over." And then I remember the day that they were going to come, Mom called. And she said, "No, I don't want them to come." So I had to tell these ladies, my mom doesn't want you guys to come over. And they said, "Well, can we just come anyways?" And I knew that knowing my mom, that if they come to that door with a gift, she'll let them in. So I said, "Well, I might get in trouble for it." But I said, "Go ahead and go anyways." And I remember 20 minutes. They called me. One of the greatest things. They said, "Your mom came to Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen, church." And God reminded me that persistent prayer is powerful. And he keeps showing me that every day. That persistent prayer is so powerful. And I remember I sat with her and I asked her if you have any questions. She had so many questions. And I remember what she looked at me, and it was so powerful. It cut me so deep, I cried. And she says, "Remember that I told you that I never want to go to church?" She said, "I was wrong. I was wrong." She realized that she needed Christ in her life. And I never seen someone want to read the Bible so much. She couldn't come to church. She came a couple times, but she was pretty much bedridden. She was sick. Got to baptize her here. A different baptism than we've ever done, probably. But, oh, wow, did God show me that prayer is powerful. God listens to our prayers. Every little bit of them. And then I remember, so now mom come to Christ. And now I'm praying with everything. Everything I got. Oh, heal my mom. Watching her go more and more down. Suffering and pain and pain and pain and pain and pain. Crying and pain and pain and pain. Praying, God, heal her. Heal her. Would you please, 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 please heal her. I want her to come to church. I want her to be a part of a church family. And I remember that the Holy Spirit was so clear, more clear than maybe I've ever heard the Holy Spirit ever before in my life. And he says, I already did. I've already healed her. Again, I'll say, just like that little baby that he took. He took my mom, and let me tell you, there's no better place to be than in the presence of God. No better place to be than in the presence of God. No better place. Luke 18, verse 1 says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. Amen, church. Just this in this first verse right here where Jesus says, it says he tells his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. You've got to pray and you've got to pray and you've got to pray and you've got to be persistent. You've got to keep praying and you have to keep praying and you can't give up because people's lives matter. You have to care about the lost. You have to care about the brokenness. Well, what is persistent prayer? It's praying without giving up. It's praying until the Lord answers you. It's just like Jacob's story where he's trying to go home and a man who he doesn't know is God. They're wrestling day and day and day and day. And then the man says, well, we're done. And then Jacob's like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. This is how we should be praying to God. I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless my life. I'm not going to let you go till you hear my cries. And praise the Lord, we serve a God who loves us, who hears us, who cares for us. Amen, church. Don't let go to God. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. And here we see at the end, and he tells this parable so that they don't give up. Oh, wow, do we easily give up in this life? Do we easily give up praying for the things that are on our heart? We easily give up. Well, why do we give up our prayers? Well, we think God doesn't hear them. We think God doesn't hear him. He's too far from us. Maybe you don't think it's a big enough thing. And let me just encourage you with the word of God. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Amen, church. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that we ask him, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God listens to you. He hears you. He heard you the first time you said it, but sometimes he wants you to keep calling out to him so that you can build your faith and trust in the Lord. He hears us and cares for us. And listen to me, church, you can approach the throne of God boldly because you know he hears us. And number two, why do we often give up praying? Is we think that the problem is too big for God to solve. Listen to me. People go through a lot of bad things. And some people think the problem is too big for God to solve. Well, let me just remind you, church, in Jeremiah 10:12, it says, but God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. And then in Matthew 19:26, the disciples are there and they're asking Jesus, well, who can be saved if the rich can't be saved? Well, then who can be saved? And then Jesus looks at them and he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Listen to me. anything. There's no problem that's too big for God, because if he can save your life from the pit of hell, he can for sure fix the problems in your life. Amen, church? Amen. Do not think that God's not powerful enough to fix the problems in your life. If he can make the world, if he can understand it with all of his wisdom and understanding, let me reassure you with the awesomeness of God that he knows your problem. And number three, we don't get the answer when we want it. Why do you give up praying? Because you want your answer fixed now. Well, sometimes that's just not how it works. Because the God who is infinite in knowledge and understanding and wisdom knows exactly when to answer our prayers. I don't know when God should answer my prayer. I don't know when God, I'm going to pour out my heart right now, church. I don't know when God wants me to have a baby. But I will not give up praying with persistence, because I know that he'll answer me. Amen, church? Amen. Remember this in your life. That just because you don't get the answer when you want it, always be reassured that God will answer you. He always answers us. And if the answer is a no, you can rest assured that it is good, because it comes from the good God. Amen, church? Amen. And number four, why is it so easy to give up? And this is, we got to understand that it is a battle. Prayer is a battle in life. It's not always easy. Sometimes it is hard to pray. It is hard to pray. And I'm not going to go through all of it, because it's complicated and hard to understand sometimes, but Daniel chapter 10, 9 and 10, Daniel gets this vision and he doesn't quite understand it, so he prays and he prays and he prays and he fasts and he fasts and he fasts, and then an angel after 21 days comes to him and he says, God heard you when you said it, but I would have been here sooner, but a demon from Satan stopped me from coming sooner. Let me tell you, I don't understand how all that works, but let me tell you, when you pray, Satan hates it. When you pray for the Lord to intervene in your life, Satan doesn't like it. He hates it. He doesn't want a believer to pray. Why does he want to pray? Because prayer is one of the most powerful things a believer could ever do, to ask the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, to intervene in your life. To intervene in your life. And we serve a good God that does all those things. Wow, is he so amazing? Is he so good? He's so good. I wonder. I know there's people that prayed for me to come to Christ or whatever. Well, a lot of different things. I needed lots of prayer in my life. I wondered if I always sometimes wonder this. If they didn't pray for me, where would I be? That's how powerful prayer is. Don't think your prayers are just some small little thing that, well, God hears them, but ultimately, he's just going to do whatever he wants. You know, prayer is not for God. It's for us. It's to draw closer to God, to have a good relationship with God. The more I pray, the closer I get to God. And is it scary at times? Oh, yeah, it is. Do I have to repent at times when I begin to pray and draw closer to God? Oh, yeah, I do. Because I'm stepping in front of the holy God and asking him to intervene in my life or somebody else's life. You step before the throne of God, and God lets you. God lets you. Why? Because of Christ. This is such an amazing thing, church. That we're able to step in front of God, to pray to God because of what Jesus Christ done for us. He's our advocate, our counselor, our lawyer. He pleads our case before the Heavenly Father. Oh, wow, there's no one better to plead our case than Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Verse 2-5, it says, and he said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what the people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice and so that she won't eventually come and attack me. This is kind of a funny thing as you see this kind of widow. She's kind of pestering and being persistent to this judge and kind of maybe nagging him like, come on, I need you to do this. I need you to take care of my adversary. I need you to do this. And the judge is like, I got to do it. She just won't leave me alone. She just won't leave me alone. We see just in these couple of verses, we see this widow who won't give up until the judge answers her. She doesn't give up until this judge answers. And sometimes this is how we need to be with God. But praise the Lord, He's not like this unfair judge. Amen, church? He's not an unfair judge. He's not a bad judge. He's not a judge that doesn't listen to people. Oh, wow, is He the exact opposite of those things? He's a judge who cares for us. So we need to cling to God and plead with Him and beg Him and cry out to Him. And listen to me, have faith that He's going to do it. Stop thinking that I'm going to pray this little prayer and I don't really think God's going to do it, but pray expecting God that He's going to answer you. Stop thinking He's not. Plead with Him, cry out to Him, and believe that God's going to see you through. Amen, church? Amen. In Galatians 6:9, many of us know this, but write it on your hearts. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up praying. Do not give up praying. I'll say it again. Do not give up praying. It's too powerful. Because in the proper time, you'll reap a harvest. Can I tell you, the Lord loves to bless. Sometimes we think He doesn't. The Lord loves to bless. The answer is not always no, but sometimes we give up thinking it is. Sometimes the answer is no. Don't get me wrong. Some of you know God's told you no. He's told me no in my life. But sometimes we give up saying, the Lord told me no, when He didn't actually tell you no. He just told you to keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't give up so soon, because you might just miss a blessing out from the Lord. The Lord's waiting to bless His children. Oh, does He love to bless His children? But He wants those who love Him to cry out to Him. Ask Him for mercy. Ask Him for grace. Ask Him to save your mom. Ask Him to save your dad, your children. Pray for your children. Pray for your children. Pray for your children. I can't say that. I got to keep saying it. So important. In verses 6 through 8, it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice from His chosen one who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they will get justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? See, this little last sentence can be a little confusing, where He find faith on the earth. Well, just in the chapter before, He talked about when He comes again, the second coming of Christ. And this is where He's kind of bringing all of this together. And He says, well, when I come back, will I find those who persistently pray? Will I find those who have faith in me, who care for me, who love me, who believe in me? All those different things that are wrapped up in that word. See, this parable, listen very closely, is not telling you to shake God until He answers you. It's not saying, Lord, you got to answer what I want. You got to do what I want. It's not any of that. Listen to me. But rather shows us that God listens to those who persistently cry out. God hears those who persistently cry out to Him. This is so important. If this unjust judge, listen to me very closely, church, if this unjust judge could answer this widow, if this judge who doesn't care about her, who doesn't care if she gets justice, who doesn't really care if she lives or dies, if this unjust judge can answer her, how much more will our loving Father answer us? Amen. How much more is He more willing to answer us when we cry out to Him? Oh, so much more. It's incomparable. Why? Because He's the good judge. He's not unfair. He's good. He's righteous. He's the loving judge. He's a caring judge. He's the right judge. And there's nothing that gets past Him in this life. He's an amazing judge. You serve Him if you know Christ. Can I tell some things to maybe some of you who don't have a relationship with Christ? Because there's some. I know there's some. It might be tough to hear, Now the Lord hears you when you pray, and He's always willing to help you when you cry out. But your prayers are not powerful. But when you come to Christ, they're powerful. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, they're powerful. If you need hope in your life, and you think you're going to get it without Christ, you're going to be searching for a long time. If you need peace in your life, but you don't have Christ, you'll be searching for a long time. Because those things are only found in the one who's the good judge. They're only found in Christ and Christ alone. There's many people searching for answers in all the wrong places. Amen, church? Maybe you've been there in your life. They always come back void. But when we trust in the Lord, oh wow, does it never come back void? He hears our cries, our complaints, all those different things. So why should we persistently pray to God? This is so important. It honors God. Why should you persistently pray to God? Because it honors Him. It pleases Him. What's it saying? That I'm going to seek all my needs to the one who's the supplier. When you persistently pray, when you cry out to God, it's saying, He's my supplier. He's my provider. And I'll just put this in the ministries just for a moment. Can I tell you, if we just gave up praying, we probably wouldn't see the hand of God move as much as we do here. We're probably one of the most fortunate churches around that because we get to see God move so many different ways. Amen, church? We're so fortunate to see God move. But where does it all start? It starts with prayer. I hope you guys pray. I know a lot of you do, but I hope you guys can persistently pray for the people in the ministries, for the finances in the ministries, that the gospel will be, well, the gospel will prevail. It will go past Satan and nothing will stop it. I hope you pray for those things every single day, but it honors God when you persistently cry out to Him. It pleases Him. Because there's no one other than the Lord to cry out to. And number two, it reveals our heart. What you persistently cry out to often is what you care the most about. When you persistently cry out, it is often what you care the most about. What do you care most about, church? Think about it for just a second. What do you care most about in your life? And do you continually pray? Do you persistently pray for what you care the most about? See, here's the problem, church. I don't think we do. Many people, many believers, this is what we do. And sometimes we only do it at breakfast, lunch, dinner. Can I tell you, that's not enough. That's not enough. That's not persistent prayer. Lord, help this person. Now, does He hear you? Absolutely, because He's so good. But sometimes the Lord wants you to spend time on your knees crying out to Him. Now, you don't always have to be on your knees praying. It's just like what Paul says, to pray without ceasing, to pray continually, to always have prayer on your heart. I hope you're doing that every single day. But sometimes we pray on our knees for what we care the most about. And we do not give up praying for that thing until God answers us or God tells us to stop. Sometimes God, just like when I was praying for my mom to be healed, and He answered me. I didn't pray for her to be healed anymore. I prayed for something different. Lord, take her pain away. Touch her, care for her. Because He told me, I've already healed her. Sometimes He tells us to stop, and then stop. But I'm telling you, church, there's many things in our life that He's not telling you to stop. He wants you to keep crying out. He wants you to keep praying over and over and over again. Number three, prayer is powerful. Why should you persistently pray? Because prayer actually works. I've seen it countless times. Prayer actually works. And if a child, and listen to me, it's a child of God's greatest weapon in this life, is talk to the one that can actually do something about it. You don't have power in your life. You don't. You have Christ in your life who gives us power. Praise the Lord. Amen, church? Praise the Lord. He's given us power to overcome the things in this world when we do it through the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, it's God's power. Even the disciples understood that. Even the disciples understood it's God working through them. They're not casting out demons. They're not healing the sick. What are they doing? They're being obedient to the one who has the power to do it. Prayer is a powerful weapon. We say this in this church a lot, and I think there's a reason for it. Why we say this verse as much as we do, but James 5:16 says, the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean? That when you come before the Heavenly Father and you repent and you lay your sins before Him, and He comes in and cleans your life, and you're trying to live the best life which Christ as you can live, let me tell you, your prayers are powerful before God. They mean something. The Lord listens to us. The Lord listens to us. And number four, I think maybe is the most important, why you persistently pray. Because people's lives are at stake. Praying for the Lord to bless your meal, that's awesome. I do it. It's good. Because it's the Lord who provides the meal. But there's no more powerful thing than praying for the soul of a man or a woman. Why? Because people's lives are at stake. And listen to me, church, there's too many lost people out here in this world. Too many broken people out here in this world. Too many just to give up on them. And that might be hard to hear. And sometimes we do have to wipe the sand off our sandals, like we see, and move on when the Lord tells us to. But some of us have given up on our family members. Said they're too far gone. When the Lord is saying, you need to keep praying. You need to keep praying for their soul. And listen to me, church. There's nothing I can do to save them. There's nothing you can do to save them. But you know the one who can. You know the one who can save their life. I realized something when I was praying for my mom all those 7 years. Kept praying and praying. There was times, I'm not going to lie to you, where I thought, that's probably not going to happen. But because I was persistent, I kept doing it anyways. Even in those down moments, even in those moments of doubt, I kept doing it anyways. Lord, I know, even though I might not think it's going to happen, I know you're still powerful. I know you can still do it. And what did He show me? That He can take someone from Florida to save my mom. Can I tell you He can do that in your life as well? Can I tell you that the problem or the thing in your life that you think is not going to ever happen, can I tell you that God is powerful enough to move? He's powerful enough to take care of it. Those kids in your life that are wayward, that are so far out there, are doing so many bad things. Can I tell you God has the power to bring them back? Oh, wow, is He so amazing, church? Is He so wonderful? There's no one like Him. I love this quote. Some of you know who this is, some of you don't, and I can't explain it all because I don't know every detail about this man, but this man named George Mueller. We'd say he's probably the man with the greatest amount of faith in his prayer. He ran an orphanage that probably had over 10,000 kids in it. And their backs were against the wall so many times. And there's so many stories of him praying with these groups, this big old group of kids, everything. They all prayed together. Man, we don't have any food. We don't got no food for the week. We ain't got food for breakfast. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, our bread truck just broke down out here. Could you guys use it? Hey, this milk truck broke down out here. Could you guys use it? Wow, does God work in an awesome way. But he writes this quote down. And I want you guys to listen to it. He says, the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. Listen to me, church. You think one reason why I think the world is chaotic as it is, maybe even just America specifically, if I just focus on that, is because the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere. We give up praying for. You say, oh, country's too far gone. Not even worth praying about. This political leader, this president, or this king, too far gone, not worth praying about. So we stop praying. And then we ask, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you doing anything? Maybe it's because you haven't talked to Him. Maybe you're sitting there here today, tonight, and you've said those things, same things. Lord, where are you at? Why aren't you doing anything? But then you sit here and you haven't prayed in months. I've been there in my life before. It's not God's fault. It's ours. When we choose not to cry out to God, why would we expect God to intervene in our life? Does he still do it sometimes? Oh, yes, he does. Why? To show us who's in charge. To show us who the king is. Prayer is so important, church. And listen to me, prayer is too important just to give up. It is too important just to give up. And many people go to all kinds of things in their life because they've given up on God. Rather than seeking the one who can do all things, rather than seeking God with everything, rather than drawing near to God, and maybe it's been a while since you prayed. Maybe it's been a while since you cried out to God. Maybe there's that one thing in your life that you gave up on that the Lord says, we're not finished talking about. Maybe it's time to bring it back up to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've just dropped the ball on this, but Lord, I still know that you're powerful enough to bring my kids back. I know you're powerful enough to fix my finances. I know you're powerful enough to heal my mom. I know you're powerful enough to save my dad. All those different things. Maybe it's been a while since you've asked the Lord to intervene in your life, but listen to me, maybe you have family members in your life. Maybe you have family members in your life that are so far from the Lord. They're so far from the Lord. And let me plead with you, church. Let me plead with you for just a moment. Do not give up on them. Because my testimony from the Lord says he's powerful enough to bring them back. I've seen God do it too many times. I get it. It's tough. It can be tough to wait. It can be tough to wait on the Lord. But don't give up on him. Because he didn't give up on you. Don't give up talking to the one who gave his life for you. Amen, church? Amen. So let me ask you the question. How's your prayer life? Let's stand, church.